Hello and welcome to Anime Out of Context, the show where I attempt to explain the sometimes weird, sometimes wonderful, but always hilarious world of anime.
And you can call my co-host the Amigara Fault, because that's my hole, and it was made for me.
That's why it took you so long? You had to look up the name of the manga?
More specifically, I wanted to make sure that I had the exact quote right.
Yeah, fair enough. Remington!
Say your name!
Oh, I'm Sean Rollins.
I'm Remington Chase!
It's been a day. It's fine.
We're starting off with a barn burner. This is the third episode we've recorded today.
Oh, it's what we get for taking a week off. Oh, God. Scuff Central Supreme, but hey, people will think we're cute, so it'll work out in the end.
Aww.
But speaking of, which, Remington, you know what it's been a while that since we've covered?
What?
an anime that heavily features CG.
Oh, why? Why do you hate me? Why do you want me to suffer?
Rem, I don't hate you. I don't want you to suffer. And in fact—
Also, I don't even know if I would, like, agree, because while it's not been, like, a main focus, it's been woven throughout quite a few of the past, like, 5 or 6.
Yeah. But Remington, this one is 90% CG.
Oh, no, why? Why?
Well, Rem, because a lot of people wanted us to talk about it, because a lot of people are saying it's one of the best CG anime they've seen.
All right, on a scale of 1 to Polar Express, how are you...
Look, Polar Express is bottom of the fucking barrel for me, so that's it's much higher than that.
It was an innovation in CGI technology, Sean.
Was it, though? Was it, though? You can only see Tom Hanks in so many cartoon forms before you start to lose your mind.
Polar Express, it was the first feature-length film to be entirely created using motion capture technology. Pretty impressive! Pretty impressive, Sean.
For all the wrong reasons, Remington.
As this review from the Churnet Valley Railway says...
I don't see any bias there.
The result was a unique and stunning visual style unlike anything seen before.
This is propaganda from Big Train. That's what this is.
Oh, fuck. Oh, goddamn.
Okay. But Remington, I am being honest with you. The anime we're going to be talking about today is very CG-centric, but a lot of people have said, despite the fact that it's CG-centric, it's a pretty solid and entertaining show, and they want us to cover it to see what you think of it.
Alright, hit me with it. What the hell is this dumpster fire? Or maybe it's not a dumpster fire, but it's a dumpster fire.
Well, Remington, the anime we're going to be talking about today is simply titled Doro Hey Doro.
Okay.
Right? And I'm assuming you want a translation for that.
That would be nice.
Anyway, the show is about...
What the fuck? Excuse me, motherfucking... Just leaving me by the wayside?
Oh, God. It's a bit of a weird... It's a bit of a weird... translation. The easiest way to translate it is mud sludge.
What the fuck are we watching?
See, Remington, that's a question you're probably going to be asking the whole part one and maybe even while watching it.
I'm not emotionally prepared for this.
No, this, I didn't think you would be.
The third recording of the day, and this is what you throw at me? This is the shit you pull? You're like, he's weak and vulnerable. Now is the time to get him.
Correct.
God damn it.
And it's a weird one, Rem. It's a weird one. It's been a while since we've covered a weird one, so we're watching a weird one. So the anime is called Doro Hey Doro, and it is a dark fantasy with flavors of horror slapped on.
You've piqued my interest.
Uh-huh. And it is about... Oh, man. It's about a lot of things, Remington, but the simplest thing that it's about is... Well, I mean, there's a little bit, just a little bit of love. I would say it is very much about two main things. That being the city it takes place in and the main primary character. In the city, they...
Okay, so it's about the character in a place. Gotcha.
In a lot of ways, yes. And this story takes place in a like dark underground slum like city called The Hole.
The Big Hole.
Very much so. It is a big hole in a lot of ways, Rem. It is essentially a like almost post-apocalyptic messed up cityscape where people are dying on the streets constantly. Violence is very common. And people are regularly kidnapped by rogue sorcerers who are experimenting on their bodies, causing them to have strange and often horrific mutations.
Okay.
It's very much a Wild West slum-like city where, you know, the strong control over the weak and that kind of thing.
Sure. So it's like a little bit of a, almost like a fantasy cyberpunk dealio.
Very much so. Just extra grungy, extra muddy. And the sorcerers in question, they don't live in the hole. God, why would they? They live, quite frankly, above the hole and have ways of teleporting to and from. And they mostly come down in there to, you know, toy with, suppress, and mess around with what they view to be lesser beings. Because, you know, it's the classic dichotomy of, hey, people with magic can very easily take advantage of those without. And it gets dark and fucked up from there.
Okay, and so so our protagonists, they're obviously going to be from the slums, but are they going to be your standard standard little peasant in the slums, or are they going to be like peasant but actually secretly a sorcerer?
Well, here's the thing, Remington. Not even our protagonist really knows that much.
Okay,
because we start off this series with our protagonist, Cayman, who is or Cayman. Either way, the pun is very obvious. He is a giant built muscular mercenary of a man who has been horrifically cursed to have a lizard head. Yeah. And,
are we sure this isn't just like a sequel to Shangri-La Frontier?
This came out before Shangri-La Frontier, funnily enough.
Are we sure it isn't a prequel to Shangri-La Frontier?
Man, like, that would be quite the twist, but this is... no. Very much no. Just because lizards come before birds doesn't automatically mean they're connected. But he is basically full amnesiac, doesn't know what's going on, just knows that he probably shouldn't have a lizard head. And to make things more weird and interesting, the one extra twist of his weird cursed situation is... weirdly, at the back of his throat, there appears to be a man.
What?
Yeah, there's a man in the back of his throat, and the only clue he has to his identity is that if he forces people's faces into his mouth, like fully engulfing their faces so that they can see him, the man will either say, will most likely say, they're not the one I'm looking for, essentially, and then they will be pushed out, more or less. So, currently, Cayman's goal is going around to various sorcerers, in theory trying to find the one that cursed him, by munching on their heads and having them examine the man at the back of his throat.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Rem, I cannot explain it in more plain words than that.
I was like, okay, buff boy in fucked slum, gotcha. Amnesia, gotcha.
Yep, yep.
Lizard head, I'm staying with you, all right, with the sorcerers and whatnot. Little man in the back of his head that checks people's IDs through their faces inside the mouth.
Yeah.
You're losing me. You're losing me.
Hey, man, let me just say that when I first read the manga of this back a few years ago, it was very much like, oh, that's interesting and unexpected. What are they going to do with this? And then you just start watching and you can't look away. That's very much the case. And the story progresses from there. Like, we get introduced to him and his partner in crime, Nikaido, who is a... who runs a gyoza shop.
Of course.
And she is, like, a kung fu master in a lot of
ways.
How
does the mouth feel when the lizard just, like, eats gyoza?
How does the mouth feel? Or are you asking how the man in the back of the throat feels?
Yeah, the man in the back of the throat.
He seems indifferent, because okay. The only time people can see the man in the back of the throat is when he's fully, like, munched on their heads.
How big is the man in the throat?
Do you want me to send you a picture from the manga panel?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
I'm gonna do it.
I don't know why we're here.
We're here to talk about Dorohedoro.
Dorohedoro the Explorer.
I mean, you know. There it is. And I will say, the art in the manga is very grungy and goes very hard. And the fact that it's a CG anime may be a bit of a point in its detriment, but there's your sense of scale right there.
I'm so confused.
Aw, Ram, it's okay. Everybody is with this show. But that's why we're here to talk about it.
I'm getting whiplash from last week.
Yeah.
Where it's just so simple and honest and so straightforward what it was. And
it's
now
almost like I planned it this way.
We got this, and oh my god. Alright, okay, anything else I need to know, I guess?
I mean, essentially, after Akemen has a run-in with some sorcerers and swiftly dispatches them, he gets a massive target painted on his back by a collection of what I can only call a sorceress mafia.
Sure, of course.
They pull groups together to try and hunt him down while he's also trying to hunt them down. It's just a dark, grungy mess of a world with lots of violence and lots of questions. So many questions.
Man.
So whether or not it's a good experience fully animated and whether or not the CG adds or takes away from it, I guess we'll have to see. But I think that's basically...
I forgot that was the opener. I got so lost in the sauce.
Yeah, I figured you would be. That's why I had to, you know, kind
of
ease you into it.
I'm so not ready.
Look at how incredibly detailed that opening manga panel is. I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be anywhere near as detailed. But, hey, who knows? Maybe despite that, it'll be a grand old experience. So, without further ado, let's go straight into it. Let's go watch the heavily requested Dorohedoro. And we are back after watching 5 whole episodes of the Netflix original anime Dorohedoro with lizards and all. And Remington, was it everything you could have hoped for, or are you just as confused as when we started the first half of this podcast?
Boy, oh boy, Sean, what a ride this was.
A lot happens in 5 episodes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I felt, you know, we had to make sure that you knew what the show was all about, so I wanted to give you the full breadth of these opening half of the story, because it's only 12 episodes, so, you know, you gotta make sure you get a good chunk of it to not upset all the Dorohedoro fans out there.
Sure.
Now the question is, Remington, how are you going to upset the Dorohedoro fans out there?
Well, let's find out. So episode 1, we open up with a sorcerer with his face in a croc mouth, and we learn it is not the one. I will note, so in part 1, you showed me an image of the man inside the throat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that gave an impression, it gave an impression that it was a small man inside the throat. That is not the case here. This is a full-size man inside this croc throat. A full-size man, occasionally bloody, who will look, you know, nice and fucked. And turns out that sorcerer, not the one. So the croc and his friend, they kick these two sorcerers' asses. He slices up a sorcerer, but that sorcerer, as they die, they send their friend away through a dimension door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opening. And then we hit the intro, which is very psychedelic. Let me put it this
way. Along with the whole show.
Psychedelic visuals and mushrooms are both major motifs. So...
Yes.
I ain't no detective. I'm not no private eye or nothing, but I can see a couple clues.
Look, there's a lot of creative inspirations being used here, is what we'll say.
And so we get some exposition on sorcerers and the whole. Before our protagonist, this crocodile, Kaiman, he eats some gyoza with his friend Nikaido, and you know, they're doing real good.
Yeah.
Kaiman, he gets this kind of like part-time job at hospital, I guess?
Morgue.
Sure. And he's working with a doctor who has to deal with a lot of sorcerer shenanigans as they use the hole as practice grounds, morphing and contorting all of these innocent victims. Mm-hmm. Right. We get this weird scene. So when we first see Nikaido, right, Kaiman's female pal, she is kicking ass. She is shown to be exceptionally competent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this next scene we see of her, she is stupid and useless. It's a real weird 1-2 punch. Because she's at her gyoza shop and she's serving a sorcerer some food. Very obviously a sorcerer, you know? There's not a lot of subtlety going on there. And she's just talking all about basically like kicking sorcerer ass and how stupid those sorcerers were, blah, blah, blah. But I thought she was like goading him and taunting him a little bit. And that she wanted him to like make the first move so then she can just kick his ass. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the sorcerer gets frustrated, ties her up and is ready to kick her ass. And he's like, yeah, fuck you. And he just sort of one-ups her. And I was like, oh, that's weird. What?
And I mean, I wouldn't say he's obviously a sorcerer. Like, he wears a mask, but...
He looks exactly like the sorcerers that they just fought. So far, we've seen one visual indication for sorcerers. And this guy is exactly in that line. Like, the show has told us, hey, these kinds of guys, they're sorcerers. Right? And Nikaido knows that. She just kicked some sorcerer ass with a guy who looked basically exactly like this. Right? But
I don't know. I think you're just being prejudiced towards people who wear masks.
I don't think I am. I think that this world has taught us a visual language and is then just confirming it. But then for some reason, one of the characters who was shown to be competent suddenly isn't. It's very weird. And for the rest of the time, Nikaido is... very competent. Like, I'm struggling to think of another scene that shows her as powerless and stupid as this one. And so I'm just wondering why this bit exists. It's a weird choice. It's a very strange direction to take, especially because, once again, those early impressions are some of the most important ones.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time, she's very competent. So our first impression was the right one. I don't know what this scene was about. Nonetheless, we get introduced to this guy, N, who closes the hole temporarily, because shit's getting a little bit fucked over there. Kaiman returns to find the sorcerer over, tied up Nikaido, and he fucks them up. He eats them, dispels some bug people, that were transformed in, like, in the hospital and stuff.
Yeah.
And, then, later, as they're going, he'll later confront a sorcerer girl with a little skull mask, right? He confronts her, does a signature move of munch. A sorcerer tries to save that girl from getting her face munched, right? From getting her head chomped off. And as he pulls her through a dimension door, he saves her, he succeeds, and rips her face off accidentally because it just got caught on the teeth. That's nice and fucked. Beautiful, awful imagery.
Yep, and completely traumatized her thoroughly as well.
Kaiman has some nightmares, and then we get a little cutaway of a sorcerer team who's killing a bunch of people. And so there we go. The first episode, pretty solid, nice intensity, some intriguing mysteries, very stylized, which is nice. One weird, bad, inconsistent scene. But thankfully, the rest was pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also note, a major thing about this show is, like, all the CGI, right?
Right.
And first of all, it helps that, like, because there's so much CGI, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, instead of it being, here's this beautiful 2D artwork, and then some jank CGI, right? Instead, it's like, oh, that's just the language that Doro Hodoro is using. So it's not jarring at any point.
And like they mix in a bunch of like hand-drawn backgrounds and the like, but it doesn't feel super jarring because of the the way the characters are outlined specifically.
Yeah, they right. actually like have designed everything to be combined rather than they have a very specific style, but due to budget constraints, this one thing has to be CGI real quick. And it also, like, there are some weird moments of CGI, but that's also kind of fine because it's a weird fucking show. And so yeah. if you're watching something beautiful and serene and elegant, and then what the fuck is that? That's going to take you out of it a bit, right? Meanwhile, right. if you're just like, oh, this is weird and uncomfortable, and then some CGI pops up and you're like, oh, that just, you know, that fits, that adds to the vibe. That also is weird and uncomfortable. So yeah, it just works.
Yep.
It works.
Like, you get used to it really quickly.
Yeah, it's good stylistically. Episode 2, we meet who the sorcerer killing team is. It's Shin and Noi. Shin is... he is Heart Mask. I don't know much more about him. He seems like he's more practical, is the general impression I get from him.
Mm-hmm.
And Noi, she is a big muscle mommy.
Yes, she is.
So, you know, no points for guessing who Sean's favorite character is.
Okay, listen. Listen.
No points for guessing who Sean wants to step on him. Well, probably also Nikaido, too. She's like a more normalized muscle mommy, but Noi is like power lifter, bodybuilder muscle mommy.
I mean, her method of choice for dispatching people is quite literally shoving their skulls into walls. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't get much more like big bruiser than that.
Yeah. And so we explore the world a little bit. Nikaido isn't feeling too well. There's rain and magic pollution happening. Kaimon, meanwhile, pretty cheery doing his labor. Like, he's doing tedious odd jobs in the morgue, but he's vibing. Yeah. All right. He's finding reasons to smile.
Yep. Helping with some of the dead end patients that are still alive, as well as, you know, disposing of bodies and some bodies that may or may not be speaking to him.
Yeah. At one point, you know, a little bag with a sorcerer head starts talking to him and asks for a proper death. So he cremates it. And so we kind of learn, though the details are still nebulous, that sorcerers don't die normal. Or at least some don't. Or there are some exceptions that we don't fully understand at this point. A lot has to do with heads.
Yeah. The implication here is very much actually connected to our heart-headed friend. Because the if you recall in that second episode, he made a big spiel about, you know, good trash bags.
Yeah, and we see him, Shin and Noi, they attack a geezer sorcerer, a punk geezer, and they attack him and wipe him out and his crew. And we learn that there's not just a class disparity of sorcerers versus people in the whole. There's also just, gang warfare among sorcerers.
Yeah, like, were you expecting a full sorcerer mafia?
Yeah. So... You know, there's a lot of factional conflicts going on there, which I appreciate that it's not a simple, like, two-sided issue. And so we have some more exploration. N, who's the leader of Shin, Noi, Ebisu, who is the girl who is now faceless, and they replace her face, and a long-nosed sorcerer that is with Ebisu that I don't remember his name.
Fujita!
Him. Ebisu is tons of fun, because even right now where she's faceless and is just, like, completely wrapped, she's just kind of vibing. She's just...
Yep. Yeah. Like, she takes extreme PTSD and makes it a little fun, you know? A little wacky.
She's definitely comedic relief within this show, right? They do a lot of wacky shit with her. But what I really like is... They will get extremely wacky with Ebisu in an extremely nonchalant way. Like, the vast majority of jokes with her are background gags. And so there'll be insane shit, but the show isn't like, hey, look at this insane shit. They'll be like, hey, all right, here's this conversation happening. And if you look in the background. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It makes it funnier to me.
She's running around with a cake. It's very good.
Yeah, it makes it more humorous. And in fact, the other characters are just real solid, too. Shin and Noi, they're not just killers. Noi is, you know, a very, very positive, I would say. very happy-go-lucky as a magic killer. Shin, practical and caring, but trying to sort this shit out. Kaiman and Nikaido have fun personalities. It's well-written. They feel like people. Thank God for that. it's a true ensemble cast, where even though, like, you're like, oh yeah, Big Lizard Head, that's the protagonist, but, like, everybody matters, and they invest time into everybody.
And not to mention, N is incredibly creepy and fucked up.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, the unsettling vibes you get from the guy from, like, first sight is pretty spot on.
Yep.
Also, only eats mushrooms. Asterisk, you know, he turns people into mushrooms, but, you know, hey. He only eats the mushrooms, technically.
Yep. So, N and his gang, they have their own little conflicts. Kaiman and Nikaido, they travel a bit. People try to mug Nikaido, but she fucks them up pretty easily. And
she's a monk. Shit ain't going down.
Yeah. And they continue. They're, once again, they're trying to figure out details about what's going on with Kaiman, who cursed him this way, what his past is all about, who's the guy inside his throat. All very valuable questions.
Questions I think I'd want to know the answer to if it was me.
Yeah. And so then, episode 3, we get, just the Halloween episode, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
I mean, this whole show is a very Halloween show.
Sure, but this one has, like, a special opening. Its opening is the same, but it has a special little added sequence, little title sequence, where it is the Night of Horrors, Day of the Living Dead. It hams it up a bit. Basically, we because of all the magical pollution and stuff, the dead don't always stay dead. And on this day, they come back to life, and everybody in the hole makes a little game of killing a bunch of them and getting points that they can trade in at a fairground. Kill zombies for prizes. And so they do that. Kaiman and Nikaido are doing their thing. Meanwhile, some of the sorcerer gang is in town as well, and they aren't aware that this is going on. They're like, oh, okay. Ebisu turns into a zombie, because of course she does. And then eventually in this episode, we get a confrontation of Shin and Noi versus Kaiman and Nikaido. All right, we've seen both teams kick some ass, right? Just absolutely whoop some motherfuckers. So what's gonna happen now? And Kaiman and Nikaido, they put up a good fight, but they get trounced. They get whooped a little bit, and in fact, this fight ends with Kaiman getting decapitated. His lizard head, bada bing, bada boom, it's out of here. So that's nice and intense. Kaiman, you know, he's still alive, worry not.
It's very much Wolverine rules.
Yeah, weird head things, you know, it's just how it goes. So the sorcerers leave, Kaiman sort of restores himself, and now he has his head. They work with their friend who's a doctor to kind of figure out what's up with this head in a jar, right? And if they can now study this head, then maybe they can learn some valuable intel. But spooky voices, lights go out, the head goes missing. Then we get to episode 4. Episode 4, let's see. It says a lot happens, and I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is relevant to talk about. Like, in episode 4...
Like I said, there's a lot.
N hires
there's a lot.
A guy named Turkey who makes living dolls. Neat. Not wildly important at this stage, but it's neat, and I'm sure it'll be important at some point. There's a lot of ingredients, and I gotta decide which ones to to focus on and prioritize. They make a living doll of the Throat Man. They make a living doll of Throat Man, who then goes to where Throat Man is. It's an abandoned apartment that has a box in it, and inside that box is Throat Man's dead head. So, at this stage, we got Throat Man doll, and real Throat Man's dead head. There's a lot. There's a lot going on!
That's way more Throat Man than you would have anticipated.
It's a lot of Throat Man! And they kind of confirm one possible theory that was going around. They were like, Kaiman was like, is this guy in my throat? Is that like me pre-transformation? As it turns out, no. No, it is not. It is somebody separate. We don't fully know their deal. And so they're like, all right, well, let's work on reviving this head, as it were, and maybe we can get some really cool intel on how to take down this lizard that's impervious to magic, right? Meanwhile, Kaiman and Nikaido, they visit another doctor for research, and they find this house, and in this house they eventually find a lab, and the house is distorted by magic, shit's a little bit fucked, and that's when they meet the doctor, the magical doctor here. And the magical doctor is like, oh yeah, well, you know, I have something that might help you guys in your exploration. Maybe you want to go to the magical world. Here, let me present to you a magical flesh door. There it is. And so that leads to, that basically acts as a dimension door. It's just made of flesh. Huh. It's a wild show. It's wild. There's a lot going on. You know, I rarely see flesh doors. Though flesh door is also what I call Sean Rollins.
Excuse me?
He's my little flesh door.
I don't. I'm gonna open him right don't up. Don't like that. I
draw me to,
you will,
do
sir.
You want, draw me to open you up or slam you shut?
You do not have a key, sir. No
answer. I think you'll find I do. I think you'll find that my flesh key fits perfectly into your flesh door.
My is. Oh god, why?
So they go to the sorcerer's world, right? Gaiman just wants to chomp indiscriminately. He's like, look at all these sorcerers, let's start chomping and killing. And Nikaido was like, hey, what if you didn't fucking do that, right?
Yeah.
Because
you know, it seems wildly inefficient.
yeah, exactly. There's some stuff with the sorcerers and some personal drama with Fujita. Well, that's not as important. It's nice character moments. Kaiman and Nikaido, they take a magic carpet ride and then kill the guy, steal the carpet, don't know how to drive the carpet, and crash. The sorcerers are able to revive the head and are able to be like, hey, head, what the fuck is up with this? And the head is basically like, where you found me wasn't my home. I don't know the lizard guy. I don't know what's up with that. And so it seems like Throat Man is equally confused. Basically, nobody knows what's going on at this stage. Nikaido and Kaiman, they go to an underground bar that has fire-flushing toilets straight to hell. Eventually... they lead themselves to a specific gang of sorcerers that have a particular eye pattern. And Kaiman is like, holy shit, that's my eye pattern. That could be very relevant. And so they find him, but the sorcerers are also on their way over there to kick some ass. And we also, in this episode, we see that Nikaido is of an extremely powerful sorcerer in her own right. And it's just been kind of hiding it from Kaiman because, you know, he hates sorcerers.
Yeah, and so does she to quite a big extent.
Yeah, and so after some drama, some battles, some mafioso magical nonsense, Nikaido, she separates from Kaiman. She leaves him home for the day, basically, right? And she goes to En's mansion, and she just confronts the sorcerer gang we've been talking about, right? The main crew, and in his crew, while Kaiman is just at home being like, ah, lovely day, wonder where Nikaido is. He's oblivious.
Yeah, I mean, he is a lizard head. Brains aren't exactly his expertise.
It's true. So I understand if a lot of listeners are like, Renton, that feels like for the better part of 20 minutes you've been just doing a stream of consciousness. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. That's fair. That's understandable.
It's one of the things that
I don't.
You gotta see.
Yeah, I do not blame you for a bit if that's kind of where you're at right now. It's a weird show. There's a lot going on in it. But I vibe with it. I think it's a very good show. It feels fresh. It feels pretty original. They have a strong vision of what they're trying to accomplish, and I think they're doing a good job. They have compelling and fleshed out characters that they actually dedicate sufficient time to. I think this would be a way less interesting show if it was just the Kaiman show, right? Because he's an interesting character. If he were overexposed, I think it would make him far less compelling and obviously be of detriment to everybody else. I just think it's very well executed.
Wow. You're going to make a lot of Dora Hedoro fans very, very happy, Rep.
Hey, as they goddamn should be. It just feels fresh. It feels like it feels original, not in the sense that like it doesn't have some cliches, because of course it does, but in the sense that it has a very specific vision and it's going all in on that vision. And I dig it.
Hell yeah. So if you had to guess where the show's going to go from here, where do you think? Any clues, or are you just as lost as when I told you in the first half of the program?
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. So let's look at our ingredients, shall we?
Okay.
So, Kaiman, he is still just as confused. The closest to, like, clues he has are occasional dreams where Throat Man bloodily abandons him. Nikaido, secretly a super powerful sorcerer, but is down to fuck up a bunch of others. Throat Man, wildly confused about everything going on. Throat Man? They were like, he'll give answers. And the valuable insight he had was he didn't have insight. And that is notable. That is, you would have expected him to have it. It's kind of weird that he doesn't. And so, if anything, it seems like maybe Throat Man and Kaiman, like, they crossed together. They angered the same sorcerer, right? And so the sorcerer was like, fuck you and fuck you, bitch. Or maybe as they were cursing Kaiman, Throat Man fucked up his own spell as he was dying, right? Because somebody tried to kill Throat Man. It's all weird. It's all strange.
But you kind of like that it's strange.
I do like that it's strange. I will say, yeah. It definitely feels like it's a show that, because of how it's been built up, it does somewhat need to stick the landing. It at least needs a good ending, if not even if it doesn't end up having, like, a spectacular, amazing, satisfying ending. It needs to at least have a good ending, because it is something that cares about what it is building. It cares about the mystery that is being developed. And if it's like, ooh, isn't this an interesting mystery? Aren't these interesting questions? And if at the end it's like, but who knows? Who can say? Don't worry about it. Right? Then it would be detrimental to the whole show.
Yep, and I will say it's a fairly it's as far as like the original source goes, right? There are only 12 episodes of it out now, and it looks like there's a second season in the going to be in the mix as well. But I think it has about 167 chapters total, and it is finished. So whether or not that means it finished in a good and satisfying way, or if it just is a wild, strange, chaotic mess throughout the whole thing, and that's what makes it enjoyable.
All right, 167, it sounds like a lot. Is it a lot?
Let me put it to you this way. Most bad manga that get, like, serialization usually get canceled between, like, chapters 20 and 40.
Okay, so it's kind of a lot.
Yeah, like, it's enough to get a good full story across, essentially.
I don't know, that actually doesn't instill in me confidence. I'm worried they're gonna... gonna lost it. They're gonna be like, oh, here's a mystery, and here's a question, here's an answer to that mystery that only raises more questions. Ooh, isn't this even more intriguing? You're like, yeah, it is. And then they keep doing that, and then at the end, they're like, ha, joke's on you. It was all for naught. None of the mysteries mattered. And you're like, oh, then why the fuck did I waste all my time? Like, the length does frighten me a bit. I'm not saying that's gonna be the case. It's just a concern.
I mean, look, we were all traumatized by Lost back in the day. We invested so much of our time into that.
I've ranted like, plenty about mystery box storytelling and its many pitfalls.
Yes. But from what I've seen and read of it, it seems to be a very fun, chaotic story with lots of dark themes. And, like, it does seem to be a story about chaos in and of itself, which is interesting.
I don't know.
And
that sounds
curious.
Like an excuse to not have satisfying answers, though.
Well, Ram, I haven't seen that much more than you.
Because while I agree that it is chaos, right? I think mystery is still like it's a action mystery is definitely the genres. And if it decides to abandon mystery, then it'll just be a decent action at best, and that'll be disappointing to me. It won't be special at that point.
Oh, Jesus, that's harsh.
So even if it's all right, it won't be special. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying that's where it would be if that's where it goes.
Interesting, interesting. But yeah, no, as far as I can tell, generally speaking, it's pretty well liked, and a lot of people genuinely enjoy it, from what I can tell. Though it is very polarizing in the fact that if you don't vibe with the first episode, you're probably gonna have a hard time vibing with the rest, because, I mean, one can only handle so many face rippings before things get a little bit too much to handle, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And, I don't know, maybe after this is said and done, I'll blitz through the, like, remaining, I think the first 12 episodes adapt, like, maybe, like, the first 20 chapters, if I had to guess, because it's pretty long. Like, each chapter has, like, between 18 and 24 pages, which is a lot for a manga like this. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll blitz through it, see what it's like, and then give you an idea of how accurate you are with your Lost comparisons down the line.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll do a revisit and see where it goes from there. Hard to say. Hard to say. It'll be up to people. But we did get a lot of recommendations for this one, because this came out in winter of 2020, right?
Yeah.
So from January to it finished airing in March 30th.
Ooh.
So of 2020. So you can kind of get an idea of what the world was like when this show came out.
Yeah. I think what I want from it, Promised Neverland Season 1. What I don't want from it
is Lost.
Like, it can't overstay its welcome.
No. Understandable. So yeah, well, hey, that's a good, strong, positive rating. And who knows, maybe some of the fans of this series will be like, oh man, don't worry, Rem, it doesn't do a Lost. Or some of the fans of the series will be like, oh man, it's great until this point. So just watch until this point and you'll be perfectly satisfied. I don't know which it is, but I'm curious to see what'll happen. Rem, if you had to guess, what do you think the MAL score for Doro Hey Doro is?
I think it'll be very significant. I think it's going to be an 8.11.
8.11. That your final answer?
Sure, why not?
Alrighty. Well, Remington, with 276,000 ratings, which is pretty significant considering, 4 years ago it came out, and it's a Netflix anime, Western-wise at least.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not, because, you know, that's just the way it works sometimes, unfortunately. Doro Hey Doro is sitting nice and pretty at 8.05, actually.
Okay, alright. Pretty close.
Yeah, because that is the general consensus of it. Like, the people who watch it and vibe with it vibe pretty hard with it, but they're the people who don't super vibe with the weirdness of it are more likely to still give it a favorable rating, but not, like, a weeb favorable rating.
Yeah, like, I think you know? It is accessible, but very idiosyncratic to the point where, you know, some people just won't be interested.
Yeah, like, you and I, we like horror-adjacent media that involves lizard men devouring weird sorcerers and mafia. We like weird convoluted stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not everybody else does, though.
Yep.
Not everybody else does. So, yeah. I guess the final question I need to ask you, Rem, is there any chance you'd like to watch a little bit more Doro Hey Doro with me?
Sure.
Hell yeah.
Before we read Patreon stuff, I just want to mention that our lovely editor, Dylan, he was recently on the Shonen Flop podcast. We love the Shonen Flop boys. He was recently on over there. So you can go check that out, I think it's their episode 99. And I have an episode, but I got a special secret episode that's on the Flop Boys, Patreon. So, you know, if you want a little special Remington sizzle, that's where you get that. So you can enjoy some free Dylan content, some spicy special Remington content. It's all over there. Check out Shonen Flop. Good shit overall.
I mean, I was on an episode too. Don't forget me.
Yeah, but not like...
Recently, yeah, I know, but
it was
still.
It was a while ago.
I know, but like, then, you know, I want to.
Sean also
feel
has an
included.
Episode. I have a free episode as well. Like, look, Sean Flop guys are great. Just check them out.
We love those boys. And with that in mind, thank you all so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. If you enjoy Remington liking an anime for a change in his sad, sad life, then please head on over to wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. They mean the world to us, and we do read every single one. And if that is not enough for you, you can head on over to twitch.tv/animeoutofcontext, where myself, Dylan, and Remington occasionally play video games very poorly, and I have actually been getting more regular about streaming, like I've been promising for, like, the past 2 years. I know, it's weird. So you'll actually be able to watch me play games poorly. And sometimes the others, but mostly just me, if I'm honest. But if that is still not enough for you, you can head on over to patreon.com/animeoutofcontext, where you gain access to all kinds of lovely bonus material, including having the opportunity to be thanked live on the podcast. So, Rem, who are we thanking this week?
Well, as always, we would like to send our regards to all of our bland bitch protagonists, as well as our magical girls, who we really appreciate. But now we move on to our yandere waifus, who, whether it's through muscles, shenanigans, or magic, are kicking our ass. And on that list we have, my name is First Now Bitch, oops, sorry, I was just overly excited, you're not a bitch, please don't hurt me. Zombie Stomp, Xanax, Yummy Yummy Cummy Cummy in my tummy yummy cummy.
Oh, I hate
yandere
that.
Neko, Why Sean? Wes Kane, week 10 of asking for a DBZ review, finally, Sean. Walk Me Home Gently, Utah number 1, Uninched Prax, Tum Yum Cum. Why is there two of those? Why is there...
They look, sometimes audiences, like, form a hive mind, I think. And that might be one of the weird situations where our super horny section of our hive mind just kind of is like...
The horny rhymers.
The horny
rhymers. Shout out to all the horny rhymers in our audience. Our most, I've long said, you know, that's our real target demographic, the horny rhymers out there.
They're my favorite EDM group, honestly.
Totally Love God's them. Angel, Titan CNH. This show is a ploy to get Joe Biden reelected. The Susanator, the pocket big hole you need in your pocket. The Flying Spaghetti Monster. The Danish Viking will conquer the world with Runor Zoro as my navigator. The capybara is listening to boyfriend falling down stairs and getting hit by a truck roleplay ASMR. Turvin, Super Zoo, Stacy's mom, Spoon Wife gave birth to a spork staring Spoon Man's villain, starting Spoon Man's villain arc. Jesus Christ.
My Christ.
Jesus Christ. Why? Oh! Sophia from Golden Girls is Rem's waifu. Hey, you can have worse, is all I'm saying. All right? You take Sophia from Golden Girls, compare them to most weebs waifus, I think I got the better pick. Someone asked me to name a greater philosopher than Nietzsche, I can't. Snakey Pie, Shoujo Addict, who doesn't need help, just more manga to read and anime to watch. Sean wants to give Spoon Man a thank and yank. Sean setting a dangerous precedent, account one until I guessed on the pod. I don't think that's gonna happen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's never gonna happen.
Sean's never favorite website happen. Is WikiFeet. Sean told me to fuck my sister, and now my family won't talk to me. Sean ruined my happy sugar life when he didn't sing for us like a coward. The people demanded, did he, Sean? Sean puts the barra in Cappy Bar, the Spoon Man comes. Sean, I need you, the Spoon Man, myself, and this 55-gallon drum of lube for anal use only to help overthrow Joe Biden.
That's a lot to digest.
Yeah, and I guess, I suppose all I would ask, on which direction are we overthrowing Joe Biden? Because, you know, I might be down, but I would need to know...
Like, there's some heavy asterisks doing a lot of work there, you know?
Sean had a last that could go all night, but he got out of breath when he had to blow her up. Sean can do these nuts. Shadow Cryptid MILF. Serve him the shark plushies. Going to Kai, that's what she said. Say hi to that guy's fiance. I think it's Haley. Ross Bomber. Riku the Dawn Hero. Rhiannon Williams. Renaissance Art is just hentai for snobs.
I don't think that's
a great take right there. Remington is right. Rem uses the drums of liberation to free all weebs from bad anime. Rem doesn't completely hate my favorite shows. Pro tips out of context, the only ginger weeb will cover anime if we blackmail him with money. Haruhi Suzumiya 2024 account number 10. Guys, if you all do this, it dilutes your power.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Oh, Professor Fox, pro wrestling is targeted at the male gaze. And also, shout out, I'm gonna be watching WrestleMania this weekend. It's gonna be dope as fuck. Anyway,
yeah, and we also recently got followed by John Cena on Twitter.
See, it's all fitting.
It's interesting. It's all fitting.
Paco Musico, no waifu, no laifu, 907. Nick, Necrodancer 1415. My mother never hyphenated her last name, but if she had, her initials would be MILF. That's wild. Freud is jumping for joy in his grave because you have to fuck your mom.
don't say that!
It's Freud! I don't make the rules! Tell it to Oedipus or
Neither
something!
Neither did he!
A musical episode guy here with Spoon Man to say thanks for the second musical episode. Misaka will pepper spray the lot of you, for she is Speed Macer, says Misaka. Mikaka 7 Hierto.
Speed Mace.
Myrmicorn Fire. Making fake Malakant so I can rate Forest Fairy 5 10 out of 10. Macaroni Uchiha. Link Joe Girl. Kylo. King Rich Rock. Cassidy. Just watch SAO Alice Underworld. Part 2, Episode 1, Yikes, Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo, Jergidius, Jax, Jam Hands, Icon Scout, I Will Never Get More Ace of the Diamond, Now I Cry, I Was Hoping Rem Would Dislike Eva More Than He Did and Validate My Opinion, I Tried Manscaping with Straight Edge Razor, I Can't Believe I Made an Account for This, Hey Rem, How Would You Feel If You Found Out Sean Was Hiding the Fact You Were, the God of This World? It'd be weird if he knew, but I didn't, because wouldn't I would be the omnipotent one there, right? Right?
Well, there's precedent for it, so...
Sean, am I the god of this world and you're not telling me?
Well, look, man, you know, we gotta be very careful about what I tell you, because if I tell you too much, then the world might accidentally end.
I mean...
It's complicated, it's complicated. Well, like, early 2000s were a little weird.
I don't know, I'll just create another one or something. Happy 300 episodes, the British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming. Glenn Michael Dolan, Ginger Weeb, Furble the Merble, Durble Shablurble. Farmer Weeb's first account to get the show to watch Redo of Healer. It's a third person trying to do the same thing!
Also, I've said we're never doing Redo of Healer. Never. It's basically bad hentai.
Fantai.
Ain't doing it.
Esteban Espino, Erica McCorkle, Danielle Riot. Daddy Rum, tell me a bedtime story. Country Fried Goth has emerged from her depression cocoon and decided to change her name. Chungus Wungus Dungus, Cheese Monkey, Celestial Fox. Catgirls are best girls who give them cute little paws. Castlevania, though, guys. Rockhart for Geodudes, which is scarier, Sean Naked or John Carpenter's The Thing. Blake Star, Burt Bartholomew Flem, Bento Katoa, by girl seeking tickets to Yampest. Been a while since I've changed my name on here, but I got the third 4.0, I can't believe it, and changing my name from Funeral. Angel for a Good Cause, and every day that Raven comes to visit, Amazing Muffin. AJ Tuttles, Aisha Gudgy, Adele Girl, a weeb that likes romance anime. Dot. And now we move on to the Boy Wizard tier. Sean, what are all our Boy Wizards gonna get this time?
Oh man, our boy wizards are gonna get a variety of animals for their heads.
Perfect. We start with, what stand is better, D4C or Filthy Axe at a reasonable price?
Capybara.
Vincent Calabrese.
Skink.
That Mouse Girl.
Tree Frog.
Oh, that's an upset. Tails Williams is trapped in a water capsule.
Million.
Silent Secondary.
Red Panda.
Roska.
Cricket.
Remington Chase's laugh is my favorite sound.
Horse.
Rare Kubico thanks Sean for putting up with his antics.
Tiger.
Rare Kumiko thanks Remington for his positive review of Healer Girl.
Wait, you were supposed to stop. You were supposed to stop with all the accounts. Wait a minute.
That was just showing appreciation. You know, I guess it's wholesome. It's wholesome now, so.
It is wholesome. Albatross.
Rare Kumiko thanks Dylan for all his hard work editing the podcast.
American Bulldog.
Rare Kumiko's will continue to support the show with multiple accounts.
American Pygmy Goat, don't! Your wife will kill you!
Rekumiko is now hoping for Sean to show Rem Hitori Bochi no Marumaru Sakatsu.
Anchovy.
Nightshade Blade wants to gush over magical girls.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, Ant.
Nethier Aberwaren says Sean Malin Baden-Württemberg.
Camel.
Monogatari is everything you guys said you like in an anime. This week they do some things very different way.
Moth.
Mike.
Jellyfish.
Miguel Delion.
Corgi.
Latino stopped watching anime at age 7 and started again at age 12. His 9th anime was Baki the Grappler, 2001.
Dick Dick.
Wow. Cougar. So nice they named it twice.
Dink. Have you seen them? They're adorable. Duck.
But not to be confused with Duck Duck.
No. That's a game.
It's just the spy guy.
Eel.
Eric Adams for re-election 2026, a mayor we can all trust, Eric Adams.
Salamander.
Drew, you said my name thrice so you doomed.
A gray heron.
Crosskirk.
Hedgehog.
Crimson Reapers, just because of the scythes.
Seal.
Carver 271.
Hyena.
Blood Cell, here to remind you that white blood cells are inferior, you need the red ones to thank and yank anyways.
Cobra?
Beethoven 1201.
Python.
Anonymous.
Jackdaw.
Anime mashup of the week, Mobile Suit Salaryman.
I'd watch that. I'd watch the hell out of that.
It'd be pretty good.
Pretty good. Crab.
Animated Z.
Kia.
All Father gushed over magical girls, but now Mahawako is finished.
Mamba.
And second to none.
You get a special one. You get... No, I can't do that. That's mean. You get the most special one, the otter, because everyone loves
very
otters.
Very cute, very cute. And now we move on to the inappropriate Joey Wheeler tier, where Sean, as Joey Wheeler... is gonna tell ya who is living inside your throat, and I'll tell you what they say. We start with, that's not how nipples work, they've forgotten how to nipple.
Yeah, you know, Who's that in there? Oh, shit. It's Remington.
And he says, hey, Yokes! And he says it way too often. Next, we got Rowdy-O.
Oh, let's just have a look in here. Just open up the hatch. Joey Wheeler, what are you doing in there?
He says, hey, Yokes! Next, we have Fishes Fritz, Fishes Fritz.
Oh, wait a minute. That's just a big hole.
And it says... Next, we got my dear old mom.
Oh, goodness. Let's see here. Man, you should really get those tonsils checked out, because it looks like you've got... I don't believe it. John Cena. What are you doing in there?
And he says, hey, Yukes can't see me. Last but not least, we got Blue Baron 15.
Nicolas Cage, what are you doing here?
And he looks at you and he says, hey, Yukes, I'm Nick Caging over here.
His famous catchphrase.
He's gonna cage. Thank you all for tuning in. If you want to reach out, whether for a comment, question, feedback, or recommendation, you can tweet us at AnimeConPod or send an email over onto animeoutofcontext@gmail.com.
Once again, guys, thank you all so much for tuning in. We love and appreciate you very, very much. And as always, don't fuck your sister.
Ooh, look at me, I'm a little cat girl.